Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Holy Week leads us to the procession of two very different parades. The first parade consisted of people who greeted Jesus with shouts of Hosanna. Save us, Son of David, they said. The parade drew people who had witnessed the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the dumb speak. Some had even seen Jesus command the winds and the waves, and they obeyed his commands. Thousands received food from him who called himself the bread of life. They beheld a little girl and Lazarus, who were both raised up from death by him who is the resurrection and the life. These revelers lovingly followed the Good Shepherd, grazed in his green pastures, and drank from the springs of his living water. They were amazed at his miracles and astonished at the wisdom of his teachings. Many joined the loud parade in Jerusalem because they had received grace upon grace, though guilty of heinous crimes, and were transformed into saints by the free gift of salvation. The second parade consisted of those who were on a different path. They were those who plotted to arrest and kill Jesus because he did not reveal himself as the Messiah, the kind that they wanted. They wanted a nationalistic leader who would raise up Israel from Roman domination. These elite, so-called religious leaders and their followers were blind, though they could see. They ignored the Lord's divine power over nature, over disease, over demons, over death itself, because they were more concerned about securing power than seeing the truth. They challenged him constantly, trying to trap him, though he countered every attack with wisdom from above. They sent their men with clubs and swords to arrest the Prince of Peace in the Garden of Gethsemane. They bound and dragged the light of the world into the darkness of night for a mock court, bribing witnesses to lie about him, and brought him before Pontius Pilate to do their evil deed. And finally, this unholy parade led the Lord of Life to a hill called Calvary, where they fulfilled their desires by nailing him to a cross. This parade was led by the Prince of Darkness, using the deceived to destroy the work of God. This parade is no less an attack against the Lord and his anointed. And yet the arch enemy continues to draw mankind into this parade, doing his craft using different agents with different tactics. But things are different today, aren't they? We're much more civil. Don't be deceived. Today, our faith is being attacked. Jesus warned us that there would be such an assault on the church. He said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness in this world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." This struggle, though waged by these dark forces in the world, the spiritual forces of evil, are very much manifested in our culture today. The devil is behind the scene. But the name of this current manifestation of evil is secularism. Secularism is an ideology designed to remove God's work of salvation, His loving influence, and His wise teachings. Author Mary Eberstadt is a respected writer and essayist. She's a conservative thinker whose articles have appeared in Time Magazine, Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, National Review, First Things, The Weekly Standard, and other venues. In 2016, she published a book entitled, It's Dangerous to Believe, with a subheading, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Time Magazine also published an article entitled, Regular Christians Are No Longer Welcome in American Culture. Listen to this respected writer. She says, this new vigorous secularism has catapulted mockery of Christianity and other forms of religious traditionalism into the mainstream and set a new low for what counts as civil criticism of people's most cherished beliefs. In some precincts, she goes on, the faith of our fathers is controversial as never before. Some of the faithful have paid unexpected prices for their beliefs today. She points out some examples. The teacher in New Jersey suspended for giving a student a Bible. The football coach in Washington placed on leave for saying a prayer on the field at the end of a game. The fire chief in Atlanta fired for self-publishing a book defending Christian moral teaching. The Marine court-martialed for pasting a Bible verse above her desk, and other examples of the new intolerance. Anti-Christian activists hurl smears like bigot and hater at Americans who hold traditional beliefs about marriage and accuse anti-abortion Christians of waging a supposed war against women. She keeps going. Some Christian institutions face pressure to conform to secularist ideology or else. Flagship evangelical schools like Gordon College in Massachusetts or King College in New York have had their accreditation questioned. Some secularists argue that Christian schools don't deserve accreditation, period. Activists have targeted homeschooling for being a Christian thing. Atheist Richard Dawkins and others have even called it tantamount to child abuse. Student groups like InterVarsity have been kicked off campuses. Christian charities, including adoption agencies, Catholic hospitals, and crisis pregnancy centers, have become objects of attack. End quote. And if you think that Lutherans have escaped the attack, we haven't. Several years ago, our government forced the Lutheran Child and Family Services to comply with their secularistic goals, contrary to our church's beliefs. And when they were forced to yield or shut down, the Lutheran Child and Family Services yielded. Our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, was forced to take a stand and pull out of this vital ministry to children on a matter of principle. Now, you might be thinking, but our church still supports this group, don't we? Through our giving tree at Christmas, and you would be absolutely right. And we felt that the kids were the victims in this tragic situation. And so we've continued to give gifts, not just to the organization, but to the the kids at Christmas time. It's really sad. But instead of being depressed about the evil we are facing in this aggressive trampling of God, our God-given values, I see God using this spiritual assault to purify his church. Oh, church, now is the time. Now is the time to stand up like our confirmands did last week and confess with them that we too renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. And promise to continue steadfast in this confession and church to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. Two parades beckon us to join. God speaks through St. Paul saying, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love." In love, it says. The church is not a violent activist organization. Love, not coercion, is the means by which the church, in the Spirit of Christ, will continue to reach out to the world with the good news until Jesus returns. So here they are before us today. Two parades. Ironically, both parades take us to the cross of Jesus. The first will be a joyful demonstration where we will publicly spread out our cloaks, wave our palm branches, and offer our lives in service before the King of Glory, who has come to give us the abundant life in Christ as a free gift. The second parade only offers freedom from the rule of God, which will unite and enslave those followers to Satan's cause, resulting in a miserable life now and a tragic life in the world to come. Do you really see secularism as a path to freedom and happiness? My friends, there is no taking a neutral path. We cannot stand by idly, for to ignore the call of Christ is to join the parade of the powers of darkness bent on killing the Messiah all over again. Every day, we are challenged with the option of joining these two parades. And the question you must answer is, which parade will you join? Amen.